Welcome to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and it's a music lover's paradise today in the show, really from beginning to end. And when I say there's something for everyone, admittedly a much hackneyed phrase, I really mean everybody. Everybody that is, except for the heavy metal acid rock set. But hey, you really can't please all the people all the time now, can you? But we can please lots of folks, and we do it right down the hall, live in Studio A. We've got African drumming, dance, and song, authentic Argentinian tango by two authentic Argentinian tangueros. Karoff is back at the keyboard to help us better understand classical music. And we wrap things up today with just the right case of the blues with Peggy Queen Bees of Magny and Rob Hound Dog Baskerville and their band Stingin' and Swingin' the Blues live in Studio A next on Triad Arts Weekend after this news. This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and if you like live music, you are in for a real treat today. And if you happen to have eclectic tastes in music, you may as well just sit yourself down right now and plan to spend the next hour with us camped out in front of your radio. We're going from authentic tango music to Karoff at the keyboard and a wild romp through the world of classical music before heading off on a live blues excursion with the King Bees. But first, we got to get back to our roots, to where it all began. That's right, Mother Africa. The Eguin dancers of North Carolina A&T State University's Department of Visual and Performing Arts will transport you to a different place and time in their upcoming production, Diggin' Our Roots, from South Africa to South America. The exciting Eguin dancers are incredibly skilled performers who dance with authority and strength, enriching audiences as they entertain. Their movements will be driven by African drums like the djembe, vibrant costumes, and the dancers' own vocalizing in a variety of different languages and dialects. Diggin' Our Roots is Saturday night, April 6th at 7:30 in Harrison Auditorium on the A&T campus. Professor of Dance and Department of Visual and Performing Arts Chair Dr. Eleanor Gwynn dropped by Studio A for a sample of the sounds you'll hear in the upcoming performance, and she was joined by Adjunct Professor and Director of Marketing and Publicity Donna Baldwin-Bradby, student dancers Janae Cherry, DeRamus Harris, Kiera Edie, Raisha Vinson, and percussionist Barry Campbell. All right, the Eguin Dancers of North Carolina A&T State University here live in Studio A. And Dr. Gwynn here with us again, and welcome back.
Thank you so very much for having us.
Nice group of dancers here. Putting together this program, I know your background, you've been all over the world as a dancer and anthropologist, ethnomusicologist, I mean, so many different things. Talk about this program from the ground up.
These are a great group of dancers and students as well. I'm very proud to say that most of them were on the Dean's List this year, so kudos to them. And we work really hard to bring our students forward, especially academically and performance-wise. So we want them to be dancers, but we also want them to be scholars, because many of them will go into graduate school, they will seek work outside of dance, and they need to be prepared for many different roads. The company is well established. We have about 40 dancers and drummers and singers, so we are bringing in more students all the time.
Diggin' Our Roots from South Africa to South America. I'm going to steer over to the South African part here because we've got a djembe in the house, and I'm talking to Barry Campbell here, djembe percussionist, I should say. And what other percussion instruments do you specialize in?
Mostly the dundums and the shakaray, but djembe actually come from the West Africa region, and I'm a music major, and I'm also a music teacher.
Do you even recall your first brush with the djembe and what drew you to that instrument?
I was about 5 years old in elementary, and I saw African Dance Company coming. Ever since then, I was drawn to it.
It is such a gorgeous instrument just to look at. I should say for listeners, this is a new element to me, Barry, which is these, it look like metal ears or fashioned out of tin material with bells woven into it, almost like an ear piercing, but there are 15 or 20 of them with a different bell on each one. These folding almost like leaf petals on top of the djembe. I've never seen that before. Tell me about that element.
Actually, in the beginning, the skin was sewn to the drum, and these metal pieces were actually put on it to draw the heat to the skin to draw out the moisture. But nowadays, we just use it to add sound to the drum.
Could you shake it for me? Let's just hear that rattle. Yeah, it reminds me of the kalimba or mbira. They always have little like Coke bottle tops and stuff like that rattling around on there. They like the rattle sound in percussion. The concert's titled From South Africa to South America. So is it the entire continent of Africa represented in terms of dance and music?
The focus is on places where we have either been or we've invited choreographers to come and create pieces for us. We try not to represent something that we don't know from the ground up. So most of what you will see is a pretty good representation of the dances of those countries, the costumes or the traditional dress, the music, the singing, and the dancing. And yes, I was riding down the street in Jamaica last summer, and I was trying to come up with an idea for the concert, and I kept saying, I've got it, y'all, I've got it, I've got it. It's digging our roots, and it was going to be from South Africa to Brazil. And I said, no, that doesn't make sense. It's got to be South Africa to South America. And that's how it came up. And so we do South Africa, we do Jamaica, we do Brazil, and West Africa. So those four countries.
Very important to make the distinction, because every country in the continent has its own dance tradition, its own drumming tradition, its own vocal tradition. Well, we're going to dive into some of it right now. As long as we're here, we've got our instruments, we've got our dancers, live in Studio A. Kiera, what's the first song we're going to hear?
We'll be singing Wahambanati first.
This is a song that we sing coming into the auditorium. It's to bring the group together, the whole audience, because dance is such a specific genre. You have to reach out to the audience. You can't just leave them out of it. So we come in through the audience and we sing and make contact with the audience. And this means welcome. We welcome you into this space. And it is South African.
Okay, from South Africa to you here in the Triad. With love, live in Studio A, the E. Gwynn Dancers of North Carolina A&T State University.
Wahambanati, oh, Wahambanati. Oh, Wahambanati, Siabonga. Wahambanati, oh, Wahambanati, oh, Wahambanati, Siabonga. Samoyaluna, oh, Samoyaluna, oh, Samoyaluna, Reabonga. Samoyaluna, oh, Samoyaluna, oh, Samoyaluna. Rea boca.
Gwynn Dancers of North Carolina A&T State University. All right. I'll turn to Dr. Gwynn for a summary there, but we went from the initial tune, which is kind of a welcoming to the studio, and welcome to you all live in Studio A. And tell me about the second piece.
Amama Aliye is a song that goes with a dance called the 10 Dance. It is ba 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 ba, ba 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 ba, and you have 10 cans, and you're beating the rhythm as you sing. And this comes really out of the street experience in South Africa, mostly in Cape Town, because the children don't have toys. They don't have real things to play with. So they pick up tin cans, they pick up whatever they can find, make rhythms, make sounds, and they create movements to go with them. And it's really a neat dance, and we've done it several times. Mostly children do it, and we have a children's program, so we teach it to our children. But it's a song that will go with the village scene in the concert, and that'll be the opening.
I love that rhythm. It really sets you in motion. Bop, 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 bop. Let's hear that one, Barry. Let's hear that rhythm. What's going on there? I mean, Janae, could you break down what's going on movement-wise to kind of complement the music?
You have a group that's on the right side of the stage doing a set dance, one on the left, and one in the back. The one in the back are trying to sell different things, so they're trying to bring in the essence of a village that you would see in South Africa.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that's right. I love about the movement. It tells a story. There's something special about that. You know, we're here. We've got music going on and a drummer. Let's hear some more. Can we launch into another song? What are we going to hear next?
The next song is the boot dance. It's where stepping in America is originated from.
When you say it's stepping in America is originated, and stepping's going on right now.
Yeah, like stepping, like in fraternities and sororities. This is where it started from. It started in coal mines of South Africa.
That's right. And get me up to speed on the tradition as it's going on in sororities and fraternities today. How, stepping. Oh, Janae knows.
Well, with fraternities and sororities, it started out with basic stepping. Now it's kind of translating into more of dance moves instead of stepping. So with what you will see in boots is the foundation of how everything was started. And now they're just adding in more modern things that are dance moves as well.
Like the Brooklyn Stomp. Is that one? No. The Harlem Shake, the Brooklyn Stomp. There you go. And you can tell Dave is right in the pocket. Brooklyn Stomp, Harlem Shake, yeah. I've embarrassed poor Eddie. So anyway, that's it. Of course, Harlem Shake. And we're not going to do the Harlem Shake here now because it's got nothing to do with the minds. You're going to hurt something. Okay, so let's launch into it. Here we go. All right, this is the Eguin Dancers of North Carolina A&T State University live in Studio A. Oh, I like that one. Yeah. The Eguin Dancers of North Carolina A&T State University live in Studio A. That's it. And the thing that amazes me most, I mean, this is how far back does the tradition go, and why does it seem so fresh? I mean, it looks like it could be going on right now.
Well, actually, it's very old because it goes back to the beginning of the mines in Johannesburg when they brought men from all over the southern part of Africa, Malawi, Zimbabwe, all of those places to come together. And because they didn't have a common language, they used dance and the language that they were singing to say, we don't like what you're doing to us, white man, and we're going to get you. And that's what some of the words actually mean. The overseers didn't know that because they didn't understand the language. So they had to come out as if they were really happy with smiles on their faces. Of course, they were happy to get from in the mines because in many places they were chained to the ground in the mines, in water, up to the knees. And that's why they wore the rubber boots. And that's where the gumboot dance comes from. And they actually, in the dance, they wear the gumboots and they wear overalls that represent what the men wore in the mines. And they have scarves because they have to wipe the sweat. And they, you know, pretend they're happy, but not necessarily. Not necessarily, because this is something they have to do in order to survive. And it seems fresh because it is fresh. Anytime it's done, anytime a piece is recreated, it's up to the dancers to bring the freshness and the experience to the stage. And the one thing I like about boot dance versus stepping is that this is the basis. And so you don't have a lot of trickery. Now, you got some really strong pieces in this dance. And each one of those, when they go, attention, attention, that's a number. And so it goes to number 10 from 1 to 10. And each one has a different movement to it.
I want to get it from the dancer's perspective. What's it feel like dancing that dance and calling it out?
To dance the dance, as dancers, we have to rely on one another, which is why we all seem so close. The call and response, it is an old tradition in many African countries to say, are you listening? Yes, I'm listening. We are together. We are unified. It's also just an invigorating experience to know that you are doing something that you love to do with people who love to do it as well, and people love to see you do what you love to do.
Yeah, and I can tell. I mean, you are really talking about engaged with the people there. It's like leading a violin section. I mean, you're just checking everybody out, make sure all the movements are together and laying it down. Fun to watch. Okay, well, Doremus Harris has the list, so what's coming up?
The next song that we're doing is from Jamaica, and it's called Kuma.
All right, that's what I love about this. It's traveling around the world from the mines of Johannesburg to Jamaica. Runaway Bay, the grill. Ocho Rios or Ocho Rios. Oh, man. Here we go. Live in Studio A, the E. Gwynn Dancers of North Carolina A&T State University. Live in Studio A with some Jamaican song and dance.
Kuma fa mati bele.
Kuma fa mati bele.
Kuma fa mati bele.
Kuma fa mati bele.
My thanks to Dr. Eleanor Gwynn, the E. Gwynn Dancers, and percussionist Barry Campbell for sharing the culture of two continents and an island with us live in Studio A. Wow, what a treat. Digging Our Roots from South Africa to South America is Saturday night, April 6th at 7:30 in Harrison Auditorium on the A&T campus. Tickets are just $15, $10 for seniors and $5 for students and children. And if you want a taste of what you'll see at the show, check us out on Facebook. You'll find links to more information at WFDD.org and just click on Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and if you found yourself on your feet during that last segment, you might just want to keep those cha-cha heels on, because after this short break, we're off to the steamy streets of Buenos Aires and dance halls filled with the sounds of tango.
What I love of tango, it gives me the possibility of using all sorts of vocal colors.
La esquina del herrero, barro y pampa.
The Lorena Guillen Tango Duo is up next from South America to North America with love, live in Studio A when we return.
Que me llena de nuevo el corazón sur.
Bienvenido a Triad Arts Weekend. Soy David Ford, y que es hora de tango. How about an entire evening of sultry tangos from Argentina and new string quartets with the sounds of the Andes and the rhythms of Mexico? Ask and you shall receive with Tango and More, the guest artist recital coming up in Brendel Recital Hall on the Wake Forest University campus. Join the Lorena Guillen Tango Duo with Argentinian singer Lorena Guillen and her husband, pianist-composer Alejandro Ruti, Sunday night, April 7th at 7:30 for traditional tango favorites, Tango Nuevo arrangements, and string quartet performances of Gabriela Franck's Leyendas, an Andean walkabout, and Paquito de Rivera's Huapango. The following week on Saturday afternoon, April 13th at 3 o'clock, Lorena Guillen Tango Duo will be joined by violinist Jackie Carrasco, in full disclosure, that'd be Jackie Carrasco, my wife, Fabian Lopez, and tango dancers Ezequiel Casanets and Fernanda Moreira, demonstrating and teaching basic tango steps. So you can get your tango on while listening to live tango music by some of the best performers around. That performance will be on the UNC Greensboro campus in the Campus Ministries building. Come ready to dance. But first, I hope you've come ready to listen to some great tango music live. Lorena and Alejandro both teach at UNCG. They're music scholars and great performers, and they're live in Studio A. So I'll throw it your way first, Alejandro. Where'd you grow up? What was childhood like, and how did music find its way into your life?
I grew up in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and I started, like every other kid, playing bass in a rock band. But quickly, I turned into composition and piano and conducting and things like that. And it was all about playing whatever music came through my way.
Okay, where were you getting your training beyond the rock stage?
Conservatory.
Lorena, how about you?
Well, I also grew up in Buenos Aires, and I was motivated with music. I always remember going on Sundays to my grandparents' house and coming through the door and listening to tango, some records of tango and opera. And I got really interested in singing, and I was encouraged to go to the conservatory. I trained myself there in singing.
And were you listening to a lot of music in the home, or was that something on your own, Alejandro?
Yes. At home, there's always enough records of all sorts of things, from Palestrina to Stravinsky.
Beyond just rock, just tango, just all these different styles, a composer yourself. So inevitably, in all the composers I meet, it seems like they just get hit with a ton of music young and impacted them. This music that we're going to be listening to, for me, there's no music for me that is so, in a sense, for someone who doesn't know, meandering, as if the tempo increases and slows down, or the rhythms, it's not like this in any way, shape, or form, but yet it is. Could you describe it for me, rhythmically, what's going on?
Well, I can tell you, my one of my composition teachers, Gerardo Gandini, back in Argentina, was the pianist for Astor Piazzolla sometime in the 80s or the early 90s. And he said, he's a virtuoso of classical contemporary pianist. And he said, I went there to the group to do my first rehearsal, and they did 1, 2, 3, 4, and then I could not find where my beat was. And I was telling them, guys, I can't find your beat. I have no idea. But, you know, it's very easy. 1, 2, 3. And somehow, after a while, you get to start hearing that the beat is actually a lot straighter than it appears to be, but everything else floats around it.
Yeah.
It's a really strange thing.
For me, that's the beauty of it, too. It really, I'm unable to understand the lyrics, per se, as they're spilling out, but my mind kind of takes over. Part of it is that kind of suspension of traditional rhythm in my own mind. But in addition to that, then you add these lyrics that, just reading through some of the poetry, they're just unique to Argentine. I mean, talk about the poetry, and maybe a quote or two, or a stanza or two from some of the songs we'll be hearing.
Well, first of all, yeah, tango is a type of song, and it expresses the innermost emotions of the dwellers of the city of Buenos Aires, no? It's like the city becomes like a living creature, and these lyrics talk of the connection between the people and their city. And they're very emotional. The one that we just did, La Última Curda, The Last Drunkenness, there is a very difficult word to Curda to translate.
Curda. Yeah.
It's a man that is really speaking of this pain and briefness of life, and how he wants to end his life soothing in the effect of alcohol and liquor. He talks to the bandoneon as well, because of the moaning sound of the bandoneon and the sound of tango in this confession, personal confession.
And the bandoneon, for those who don't know, it's like an accordion, but very different from the accordion. And what a soulful sound. It has. Could you read just a section, or is there an English translation there?
Oh, yes.
Could you read me just a few lines directly from the, and this is from La Última Curda.
My heart, bandoneon, is hurt by your groaning curse. Your tears of wrong take me to the deep underworld where the mud is in upheaval.
You know, this is the only place you hear just the combination of words like that. And I know that's a translation, but from your all's point of view, though, I mean, for me, it's like a whole other world. From you, you've come from Buenos Aires, you know the tradition, but still, you read that poem. What's your point of connection there? What is it like for you?
Well, that's why I said that tango brings this experience of connecting to my place. And every time any person, even as a listener, has that mimetism with the city of Buenos Aires through this type of song. Because the music, and not only the lyrics, but also the music, kind of describes that place and how we live as citizens that place, yeah? And you have to take it with a grain of salt.
That's a great way of putting that. You read a little excerpt from La Última Curda. I want to hear this tune sung in the studio, but could you give us a synopsis of the story for La Última Curda? What's going on in this song we're about to hear?
This man goes to a coffee place, a bar, and listens to the music of the bandoneon player, and he starts a personal confession of depression, essentially, and how he wants to soothe his pain and his disenchantment of life in alcohol.
Que me herido y háblame simplemente de aquel amor ausente tras un retazo del olvido. Ya sé que me hace daño, yo sé que te lastimo llorando mi sermón de vino, pero es el viejo amor que tiembla bandoneón y ahoga en un licor que aturde la curda que al final termine la función corriéndole un telón al corazón. Un poco de recuerdo y sin sabor gotea tu rezón. Marea tu licor y arrea la tropilla de la zurda al golpear la última cuerda. Cérrame el ventanal que quema el sol, tu loco caracol de sueño. ¿No ves que vengo de un país que está de olvido siempre gris tras el alcohol? Contame tu condena, decime tu fracaso, ¿no ves la pena que me he herido? Y háblame simplemente aquel amor ausente tras un retazo del olvido. Ya sé que me hace daño, yo sé que te lastimo llorando mi sermón de vino, pero es el viejo amor que tiembla bandoneón y ahoga en un licor que aturde la curda que al final termine la función corriéndole un telón al corazón.
Well, I mean, that just, first off, great performance. Lorena Guillen Tango Duo, live in Studio A. And for the listener, this fanciful dream state, and you create it so well. Lorena, when you're singing this, what are you trying to communicate?
That's what I love of tango. It gives me the possibility of using all sorts of vocal colors that kind of take you through the story of what I'm telling, even if you don't know Spanish. And even if you know Spanish with so much words in slang, in lunfardo, sometimes it's difficult to understand the lyrics. But you will really understand and be taken through the music and inflections of the instruments playing, with this accelerandos, going faster and stopping with the tempo, and also the tone colors, yeah, of the inflections.
What's another song we could hear in this vein, this Argentine tango?
Garufa.
Garufa. Now, what's garufa
mean? Party boy, it means.
Party boy. That's, you're singing my song.
Yeah, yeah. So not everything in tango is pain and sadness. This is a funny tango.
Good.
An upbeat tango.
Tell me about it.
Well, this is a party boy that gets dressed every weekend and goes into town to dance, to the dance halls, and really shows up with his new steps there.
This is like a Saturday Night Fever in Buenos Aires?
Yes, yes. Exactly.
Buenos Aires, 1920s.
1920s, of course. Oh. Garufa. And that's this is live in Studio A. Lorena Guillen Tango Duo with Lorena Guillen and Alejandro Ruti. Live in Studio A.
Del barrio La Mondiola, sos el más rana y te llaman Garufa. Por lo bacán, tenés más pretensiones que Bataclana, que hubiera hecho suceso con un gotán durante la semana. Meta laburo y el sábado a la noche sos un doctor, te encajas las polainas y el cuello duro y te venís pa'l centro de rompedor. Garufa, pucha que sos divertido, Garufa. Ya sos un caso perdido. Tu vieja dice que sos un bandido, porque dice que te vieron la otra noche en el parque japonés.
My thanks to Lorena Guillen and Alejandro Ruti. Together they are the Lorena Guillen Tango Duo, and in addition to being great performers, the two UNCG professors are also wonderful scholars. Look for Lorena's forthcoming articles on tango and Astor Piazzolla in the revered Grove Dictionary of American Music, the second edition. And Alejandro's compositions and arrangements have been performed by leading orchestras across the country and around the world. The Lorena Guillen Tango Duo concert, Tango and More, is Sunday night, April 7th at 7:30, with traditional tango favorites, tango nuevo arrangements, and outstanding string quartet performances. Then it's time to dance on Saturday afternoon, April 13th at 3 o'clock, when the Lorena Guillen Tango Duo will be joined by violinist Jackie Carrasco, who happens to be my wife, Fabian Lopez, and tango dancers Ezequiel Casanets and Fernanda Moreira, demonstrating and teaching basic tango steps. You'll find links to more information at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and we're going to take another short break right now. Back in 60 seconds with Understanding Classical Music with Karoff at the keyboard. And then, in keeping with our We Are the World musical journey today, we're back in the good old U.S. of A. with the blues. King Bees are here to sting and swing live in Studio A when Triad Arts Weekend continues. Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and this is Understanding Classical Music with Karoff at the keyboard.
Thank you. You know, Franz Schubert wrote a tremendous amount of music in his very brief life. He was only 31 years old when he died, and yet he wrote symphonies and chamber music and operas, piano pieces, and most of all, he wrote songs. Lots and lots and lots of songs, over 600 songs of a particular type that we call Lieder, L-I-E-D-E-R, Lieder. A lead, or multiple Lieder, works like this. You get a poem that you think would make a nice song. You give a melody to the poem so that a singer can sing the words of the poem. And you write a little piano accompaniment to back up the singer. And there's your Lieder. Well, Schubert was a master at writing songs that added something to the poem. So it wasn't just simply a pretty melody, but it gave sort of an added insight into the meaning of the poem and created something that was greater than the sum of its parts. In particular, the piano accompaniments are very colorful. For example, if in a poem a young girl is sitting at the spinning wheel and she's talking about her agitation at her first kiss and wonders what's coming, and the piano part isn't simply harmonies behind the singer, but we can hear the spinning wheel spinning. Another song's talking about a young man looking at a fisherman catching a trout. And you, in the piano part, you can practically see the little fish darting here and there in the water. A young man might be saying to a brook, "Oh, bring my message of love to my beloved." And sure enough, in the piano part, you can hear the little brooklet babbling away. Well, once you've heard a few of these Lieder, and then you go back and you hear the music that doesn't have words, you can't help but hear those same kinds of melodies and those same kinds of accompaniments. Schubert's music is infused with song, even when it's not being sung. Here, listen to this piece for piano. It doesn't have a singer, and nevertheless, when I hear it, I can't help but imagine a singer singing. And when I imagine that singer singing, therefore I imagine an imaginary poem being sung as well.
Steinway artist and Wake Forest University professor Mr. Peter Karoff at the keyboard. You'll find Peter's podcast on our website, wfdd.org, and click on Karoff at the keyboard. Whether you're bemused by Bach or dumbfounded by Debussy, nobody helps us better understand classical music than maestro Peter Karoff at the keyboard. So much to learn, so little time, but hey, don't let that give you the blues. Bassist, vocalist Penny Queen Beza Magny and guitarist, keyboardist Rob Hound Dog Baskerville have been bringing the best of the blues to the Piedmont for 10 years as co-directors of the fabulous New River Blues Festival in Grassy Creek, North Carolina. Together, they formed the King Bees, and they've been stinging and swinging for 25 years with the likes of Bo Diddley, Carrie Bell, B.B. King, Nappy Brown, and many others. We're sampling from the title track from last year's King Bees release. It's an original titled Carolina Bound. Penny and Rob stop by Studio A to sing and talk the blues. 2 hours on the road to come on Triad Arts Up Close. You brought your band and all the equipment with you. We got to listen to some music. Gotta stop. Oh, it's just a stone's throw from here at Studio A.
Yeah, right? Let's just pop
let's
right
do
in.
Do it. I'm excited
what,
about it.
What are we going to kick things off with here?
Let's do Sugar Papa.
Sugar Papa. It's a swing tune. It's somewhat traditional, but I've mixed in some other lyrics and made up a few of my own. And we've got a jumping little arrangement.
All right. Well, let's jump on in then with Sugar Papa. We've got Martin Henderson on drums.
Yep.
And Rob's going to be playing not only guitar, but little organ for us on this one as well. And Queen Bee's going to be on the bass and vocals. This is Sugar Papa, the King Bees, here live in Studio A.
Sugar Papa, Sugar Papa, what makes you sugar? Sugar Papa, where do you get that good sugar from? Hey, yeah! Sugar Papa, where do you get that good sugar from? He was raised in Louisiana, way down on your mama's sugar farm. Well, they're bragging about your sugar. They're bragging all the time.
Thank you.
Studio A.
Did we call it Studio A? Yeah. We'd like to call it Studio B, but we've only got the one studio. You know. Well, that's an awesome tune. I mean, I call that a showpiece for a vocalist. I mean, holy smokes. The growls, the nuance, the licks. I mean, are you a natural this? Is this something that you just dived in and, oh, I can rip this stuff off? What's it take to do all that?
I don't really exactly know, but I know I started young and what I encourage all parents to tell their kids, get involved in band and chorus as soon as they are able to show any interest in music whatsoever. And that happened to me, and it probably kept me out of some trouble, not all trouble. But and I just did have to learn how to play bass and sing sympathetically. And it was tough at first, the bass playing and the singing, putting those together. But finally, it all went, whoa, okay.
Is it click like that after years? Or
it took about a good year of feeling that I was never going to do it right. And then after that year, things fell into place for some reason.
Because I got to say, you're not just, not a lot of pedal tones when you're singing. You're walking that bad boy and singing at the same time. That's just some great playing.
Always working on it. Always a project in progress.
Yeah. And then you're shifting from instrument to instrument now, Rob. What's the transition like going from the guitar solo right into the organ right away? And then is your approach to improvising on the organ any different than on your acts?
Yes, it's much more limited.
Well, okay. You convinced me.
Yeah. You know, my grandmother was a piano and an organ teacher, so that was my first instrument. And it's been a long, long time since I took lessons from it. But, you know, I listened to a lot of organ players over the years, and my dad would, of course, take me to see the Basie band. And so all of my ideas come from just a couple of places and the dynamics that, say, a big band like that use are always behind. When you have limited licks, you use a lot of creativity in other ways and arrangements and that kind of thing.
Yeah, interesting you mentioned Count Basie, the master of the minimalist approach to improv.
Yeah.
Just a few notes say so much.
That's the idea.
Yeah. No, it sounded great. And you reminded me of the great thing about blues. I mean, the humor.
Thank you. Finally, someone says that, because you see all these blues bands in their promo picture. They're all going to have sunglasses and have their arms crossed and scowling. What are you scowling about? I mean, this music is great. It's fun.
Talking about humor, this next tune, I mean, I just love the name of this one. Everyone loves Ham Hock Stew. I know this is a bitter love song.
Well, there is a certain kind of blues that to me is a little bit pretentious. It's the Chardonnay. I won't mention the artist who does a lot of blues with that kind of sophisticated stuff going on. But let's get down to it. The real blues folks don't drink Chardonnay or eat filet mignon. They eat Boston Button. They eat Ham Hock Stew or whatever.
Right. We've seen this.
We've been around it.
Well, how did this tune come about, though, besides the reality, the earthiness of the stew? I hope it's not a true life story.
I love Penny's intro. She often does live, which sort of explains a bit of what you're asking.
The song may not be a true story, but I will say that I did write it, and that my husband can't cook a lick. So imagine how you would feel after a hard day of work when you walk in the door and the house smells like home cooking. And you know he doesn't cook. So what is your first emotion?
I'm not lying this time, baby.
Suspicion. You're suspicious. So that's what this song is about.
All right. Well, my appetite and my musical appetite has been whetted with that one. Let's sashay on over. We're in Studio A with the King Bees, and this is Penny Queen Bees the Magni and Rob Hound Dog Baskerville, along with drummer Martin Henderson. King Bees, live in Studio A with Penny's tune, Ham Hock Stew.
Who won?
but you can't even boil an egg, so I knew it wasn't you who was that girl. She came around when I was gone. She fixed your ham hock stew, but she forgot to throw away the bone.
My thanks to Rob Hound Dog Baskerville and Penny Queen Bees of Magny, the King Bees. We've been sampling from their CD, Carolina Bound. Penny and Rob are co-directors of the New River Blues Festival, bringing the luminaries and lifeblood of the blues to the heart of rural Appalachia for 10 years. Last year marked Penny and Rob's 25th anniversary, stinging and swinging all across this great land of ours. You're invited to help them keep the party rolling at the New River Blues Festival coming up in September. You'll find links to the festival, their CD, Carolina Bound, and the King Bees performance calendar at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. Well, that's all for today's program. Our technical producer is Eddie Garcia, and our associate producer is Bethany Chafin. You'll find podcasts of Triad Arts Weekend, along with pictures and lots of helpful links, on our website, WFDD.org, and click on Triad Arts Weekend. Please send your questions, comments, and suggestions to triadarts@wfu.edu. I'm David Ford. Thanks for listening to Triad Arts Weekend.